freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it on to our children in the bloodstream. The only way they can inherit the freedom we have known is if we fight for it, protect it, defend it, and then hand it to them with the well-taught lessons of how they in their lifetime must do the same. And if you and I don't do this, then you and I may well spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it once was like in America when men were free.
Americanism, not globalism, will be our credo as long as we are led by politicians who will not put America first. Then we can be assured that other nations will not treat America with respect, the respect that we deserve.
The GOP Josh is a young conservative influence with a lot of power.
You're listening to the voice of the future, fighting for America every day. This is the Conservative Crusader. And here's your host, GOP Josh.
Well, hello and welcome. This is the Conservative Crusader. My name is GOP Josh. Glad to be with you all today, as always, here at GOPJosh.com, wherever you're getting the podcast on one of our podcasting platforms. However you get the program, we appreciate you joining us and tuning in tonight. I've been MIA, missing in action, for about a, or AWOL, however you want to call it, absent without leave, for about a week now. And I don't know if you can hear it in my voice or not, or the way I'm speaking today, but I have been a little under the weather, been around with my my good friend the cold, or whatever it might have been. But if it wasn't for a sore throat, I probably would have been here, but that throat was just, every time I said a word, it like spiked in the back of my throat. It was hard to do. But we should be pretty good to go for today's program, and I look forward to that. We're also doing it on live on X Spaces and doing a video version for Rumble. The video version's mainly today for one reason and one reason only. About a month ago, I ordered what they call to be a major merch package, the largest package of merchandise for my campaign. I ordered the Students for Trump collection of merchandise. I ordered a hoodie, a hat, and some buttons. And today, on November 27th, I finally received this package. And it was huge. It was a great-sized package. I had the Students for Trump hoodie on, the hat on. We are representing Students for Trump. And I'm so excited for that. So that's why we're doing the video today. I have the red backdrop on the green screen. A little bit too much, almost, for the with the background with the hoodie, the red hoodie. So we might have to change that later into the program, but for now we're gonna rock with it, because we're rocking with it. But that's why we have the video version today. If you are watching over on Rumble, you can check it out. Clips should be up on social media from the show wherever you follow the show at GOP Josh 20 on X, on Truth Social at GOP Josh. However you want to follow the program, you can do that. So let's hop into the news today, shall we? First and foremost, while we were gone on my medical leave, the former president's wife, the former first lady, Rosalynn Carter, has passed away. We can debate the politics of Jimmy Carter all we want, but he is still here, but his wife has passed on. So we do say rest in peace to Rosalynn Carter, and we appreciate the service that they did for this country in the way they seemed and they decided to do. All right, let's get into the politics now, shall we, where we have the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. I hope you all had a fantastic Thanksgiving. I know I did. I kind of hung around home, had some great macaroni and cheese, some great turkey, mashed potatoes, gravy. I know I'm making you hungry, but, you know, that's what we do around Thanksgiving time. Have a lot of good food, a lot of time with family, and it was a great day. So protesters decided to, what's a better way to get to the minds of Americans than interrupting the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade? Now, the parade was woke this year. There were people holding up Palestine flags, LGBT flags, all of that fun stuff. But protesters glue themselves to street and attempt to disrupt the Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade. This is from the Daily Caller now. So they said here, a small protest disrupted New York City's Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade, 97th annual, with demonstrators demanding action on climate and the liberation of Palestine. Around 30 protesters jumped over barricades into the street where the parade was occurring and reportedly glued themselves to the street, ABC7 noted. The disruption proved to be temporary as the police arrested the protesters and the parade continued around the police activity. Video showed the demonstrators covered in red liquid and wearing white jumpsuits with various words including capitalism, racism, consumerism written on them, all the key words they like to use. The protest was organized by a direct action group called Seven Circles Alliance, which claimed in a statement that a free Palestine and the liberation and decolonization of all people everywhere is deeply linked with the climate movement. The climate movement, folks. If the powers of the West are unabashedly supporting genocide and ethnic cleansing, it is crystal clear they will not budge an inch in addressing climate breakdown and preventing societal collapse. The outlet also noted that in a separate incident, someone on a float organized by the Mashpee Wampanoag tribe displayed a Palestinian flag during the parade. Now, I am not one that boycotted the Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade, mostly because the news about it broke while I was off the air. And most of the time when I'm off the air, I'm not following the news as closely as I do when I'm on the air. That's just part of the territory. But I watched the parade. I was one of probably a million that watched it. I imagine it was lower than normal this year because of that. But I wasn't following the news. I wasn't going anywhere. Didn't have talk radio on in the car. So I was just kind of whatever I see on Twitter is what I follow. And I wasn't really on Twitter a lot outside of retweeting some of my friends' posts. So I watch the parade and I see this Makahimi, whatever it was called, tribe have a float, which whatever, but one of the members of this float is holding up a Palestinian flag, and that's where I turn off the TV, right? Because we can talk about whatever you want to talk about, including Palestine and Israel, and that's a conversation for another day, but when you're making it a statement during a parade, an American parade, I really question the optics behind that. And so it's not really that major of a deal. But the fact that they disrupted, they cowered. They had someone that actually displayed their message during the parade, and they still decided to interrupt it. Tells a lot about their movement and what they're actually trying to do. They're not trying to save Palestine. They're not trying to save lives. They're trying to just stop society to make sure that the society bends and cowers to whatever they want society to bend and cower to. And we can't back down, folks. We shouldn't back down to these people and what they want. We are a country that is Israel's strongest ally. There is currently a ceasefire that was just extended to go for a couple more days regarding the hostages and everything else going on there. That's for someone well more versed in foreign policy than me to talk about. And I was listening to Michael Medved talk about it, and he did some... I don't like Medved. He's a very anti-Trump, but I catch his podcast just because he is the anti-Trump voice on the radio. And pretty much everyone else on air has kind of came around to President Trump besides like Steve Dace, but I don't listen to Steve Dace. What a guy. What a guy, Steve Dace. From The Blaze. But anyway, that's kind of the story regarding Palestine and the parade. Really quickly here, we're not really in the Ohio segment today, but I won't have a lot of time in the Ohio segment. The Ohio State Buckeyes, our Ohio folks out there, were probably not very happy the Saturday after Thanksgiving because our Ohio State Buckeyes did not succeed in taking down that team up north, that state up north, the Michigan Wolverines, as I like to call them. What a shame that game was. And I'm not really a political or a sports commentator. I am a political commentator. I'm not really a sports commentator. But mid-McCord, we had the Maserati Marv, Marvin Harrison Jr., and we had the Honda mid-cord, right? The Honda McCord not really doing a good job. So recruiting options should be open for a quarterback. Maybe we should consider firing Ryan Day. That's a conversation for another day. But really, we got to have some sort of common sense with our with our quarterback, and a quarterback that can actually do what the quarterback's supposed to do. So when we return, we're going to talk about economic stress and how it involves young Americans, kind of tying it into the Students for Trump movement we talked about. Also, a new super PAC to help Ron DeSantis, because that's really going to help him in Iowa when he's pulling at 7%. Democrats cannot quit Elon Musk's social media platform, and even more. Back when we return here on the Conservative Crusader, you're listening to the Voice of the Future. Back after this.
You're listening to the Conservative Crusader.
Fiverr is the world's largest marketplace for digital services, offers both buyers and sellers a digitally streamlined transactional platform. If you need to buy something, sell something, or whatever you want to do on Fiverr, just go to bit.ly/GOPJoshFiverr today to get your gig or to put your gig on Fiverr and help support the program as well. That is bit.ly/GOPJOSHFiverr, FIVERR. Welcome back. This is the Conservative Crusader. We are so back. It is Christmas time. Thanksgiving is over. It is the time of Thanksgiving. And today is Cyber Monday as we're doing the program. Tomorrow is Giving Tuesday. If you feel generous enough, you want to support the program, keep us on the air. Even when I am sick, as I am told, I sound very sick. Keep us on the air for Giving Tuesday. Support the program over on Patreon, patreon.com/GOPJosh. Patreon.com/GOPJosh. Just getting word now, by the way, for a short programming note. Hopefully, by the end of this week, we will have sat down with Mayor Trent Staggs, running for U.S. Senate in Utah. He is the mayor of Riverton, Utah, and he should be on the program very soon. All right. So what is the top issue for young and young voters going into 2024? According to a report from the Daily Caller News Foundation, it is economic stress. As the economy has tightened and inflation impacts are setting in for the U.S. across the board, young Americans seem to be losing more sleep over their finances than older generations, according to a survey. Financial services asked Company Empower, released a report this week in which they asked a range of Americans about their happiness regarding their financial status. The August survey by Empower gathered an answer from 2,000 Americans over the age of 18. 73% of spenders and savers experience financial stress. Roughly 56% of Gen Z and 51% of millennials told the company that their financial situations keep them up at night. According to the report, comparatively, only 37% of Gen X and just 20% of baby boomers were in agreement with this sentiment. The future of the economy under Bidenomics seems to be trending downward as the newest economic indicators from October point to the U.S. entering a recession in 2024. The LEI, Leading Economic Index, which measures key economic components for the future of the economy, dropped by 0.8% in October and 3.3% within the last 6 months. So this says a lot that 56% of Gen Z, 18 to 25-year-olds generally, say that their finances will keep them up at night, comparative to only 20% of baby boomers, 37% of Gen X. A large part of the stronghold the Republican Party had for such a long time through the Bush generations, with Reagan and Nixon and so forth, were through economic problems and economic causes for them to be Republican. Obviously, the political landscape has shifted very much to social issues coming forward now into 2024, but the Republican Party is still very much the party of a strong economy, an America-focused economy, an economy that works for the American people. That is still very much the message of the Republican Party going into 2024. We are capitalist, we're not socialist, we are conservative, we are not liberal, we are pro-people, not pro-government. That is a very important message to hammer. And the fact that we have so many Gen Zers that are hurting financially, this isn't a good thing, but it is very heavily because of Joe Biden, because of the policies exhibited by the Joe Biden administration. The job now, and I've talked a lot on this program about the Youth Advisory Council, which is by the RNC, which is guiding them on how to kind of help the youth. Their job is going to now be the 18-year-olds that are voting for the first time, myself included, to convince them that their economic situations will be better if they vote Republican, if they vote conservative, if they vote for Donald J. Trump. That's going to be the job of both the campaign and the Republican Party going forward, is to get them to say, hey, your economic situation is not unique. It is something your generation is struggling with. If you want to stop that, vote for us. That's something I'm going to be hammering to my fellow generation members as we go forward in this embark, so to speak, on this new generation as we begin to vote. I'll be voting for the first time in 2024. I look forward to casting my ballot for President Trump. But a lot of young people are very liberal on social policy and very young, not young, but very, very lackluster on economics. They don't really care. But when you can hammer on the fact that, hey, you are hurting because of the policies exhibited by this man, you'll be able to win some voters over that way. And I look forward to that and seeing the way the message is laid out in that regard. So some 2024 news before we get to the story I want to talk about. Ryan Binkley, he is a running for president. No one cares about him or knows who he is. He has 2,000 Twitter followers, to just tell you who this guy is. He is a pastor, which is a very good thing to have a pastor running for president. I will give you that. But he's not really a major guy outside of that. That regard, he has done a 99-county tour of Iowa. Ron DeSantis is hammering the fact that he's going to be the first to do it. He's going to be the first to do it. So Team Trump put out in a statement today, Ron DeSantis gets crushed by Ryan Binkley as he is the first to visit all 99 counties in Iowa, achieving the, quote, full Grassley. Des Moines, Iowa, Republican candidate for president Ryan Binkley, who was polling at 0%, outperformed Ron DeSantis by becoming the first person to visit all 99 counties in Iowa earlier this month. Binkley, a pastor from Iowa, Texas, or from Dallas, Texas, not from Iowa, hit the full Grassley in early November, proving that visiting all 99 counties is not a unique achievement that DeSantis would like everyone to believe. As with his entire campaign, DeSantis is trying to gaslight voters and caucus goers into believing he actually has a shot at becoming president. If Ron DeSantis can't even keep up with Ryan Binkley in Iowa, how can he expect to be competitive with Nikki Birdbrain Haley for distant second place? What a guy. So that's just a funny story. We're talking about Ryan Binkley now, but that's a funny story. So a new super PAC has been formed. It raises question about tension between DeSantis and Never Back Down, which is obviously the DeSantis 2024 signs that line the roads in Iowa put up by one single intern with big gums and little teeth. It is funded by Never Back Down. Fight Right, Inc. is a new super PAC with the FEC, meaning it can accept unlimited contributions and make independent expenditures in its support of DeSantis' White House bid. So there's a new super PAC. It is supposedly causing some tension between Never Back Down and Always Back Down. The president has resigned from that and the DeSantis campaign. So here it is. The launch of the new political action committee occurred, and at least in part, because negative ads run by the first super PAC aligned with the Florida governor, Never Back Down, were becoming too closely associated with the candidate, according to a source familiar with the situation. DeSantis and his wife, Casey, are not unhappy with the Never Back Down efforts overall, the source said, but they didn't think the ads were as strong as they could be. I think overall he's impressed with the ground game operation, not as impressed with the ads as they would like to be. So the Never Back Down chief executive, Chris Janowski, stepped down on Wednesday. That's an important note there as well. So Never Back Down is backing down, is what I hear. The main goal and sole focus has been to elect Governor Ron DeSantis as president, Given the current environment, it has become untenable for me to deliver on the shared goal, and that goal goes well beyond a difference in our strategic opinion. For the future of our country, I support and pray Ron DeSantis is our 47th president. The governor, most of his events are sponsored by Never Back Down. They've already spent over $41 million, and now they're bringing someone else in, another super PAC. Now, these PACs are just fronts, obviously, and the law says you can't really collude between a super PAC and a campaign, but they do it anyway. I believe MAGA Inc. and Donald Trump probably collude, Never Back Down, and Ron DeSantis probably collude. And so I'm not really sure that's a big talking point, but the big thing is the fact there's a third, which is going to be called, what is it, Fight Right, which is filed with a Florida address. Who's the, let's look at this domain they've got here, see if there's anything there for the email. No, it's a free parked domain, so not really a lot going on there. Kalen Melton is the filer. They have a bank account with a local Virginia bank. So interesting. We'll see where that goes in the support of Ron DeSantis. When we return, we're going to talk about a little bit with Elon Musk and Twitter, or X, as well as our friend, our friend George Santos. He has some big plans if he does get kicked out of Congress. Back after this, this is the Conservative Crusader. You're listening to GOPJosh.com.
You're listening to the Conservative Crusader.
Welcome back. This is the Conservative Crusader. This Christmas time, very excited for it. We have a caller on the line that wants to talk about the Newsom and the DeSantis debate. Now, I'd be lying if I said I knew this was happening. Joshua from Illinois or Indiana is going to join us now. Joshua, how's it going?
Good. How about you?
Doing great. Appreciate you calling in.
Absolutely.
So what is your question regarding this debate?
Well, my question was, I think that obviously I'm a conservative. I like Donald Trump. I think, you know, DeSantis probably has better ideas in Florida. But according to you, who do you think is going to be the best debater? Like, who do you think is going to win the debate based on their debating skills? Is it going to be Gavin Newsom or is it going to be Ron DeSantis?
Well, I'd be lying if I said I knew how Newsom debated. But the way bobblehead Ron stands on the debate stage during the presidential debates with the Secretary of Education debates with the Republican Party, I'm not really confident in his ability to represent the Republican Party on a national scale. I mean, up there he's shaking his head like his ears are about to fall off his head the way he talks on the debate stage, and so I really think that Newsom, if he's able to just be like, "Hey, I'm not that guy," he will come out ahead of himself and do better on a debate stage than Ron DeSantis would. I look forward to seeing it. When is it? You said this Thursday, I think you mentioned. I just saw a promo come up on Twitter from the campaign. So is it really Sean Hannity's moderating it?
I believe so, yeah. I just found it interesting. It's just so random to have a debate, you know.
It's who the Uniparty want to be the nominees. That's really the thing. They don't want Biden again. And they definitely don't want Trump again. They want Ron DeSantis, who's a uniparty guy through and through. He went to Yale or Harvard, one of the two. He is a longtime uniparty resident. And so they want him as the nominee. They want someone younger like Newsom, ideally. They don't want Biden. So they're going to characterize this and the media as the possible first presidential debate between the eventual Republican and Democrat nominees if they lock up Trump like they hope to and they do something else to Biden that they hope to. And so that's how they're going to characterize it. I don't see it actually doing much in terms of optics. I mean, I don't know who really watches Sean Hannity anymore or watches Fox News at all anymore. But I guess we'll see where that debate goes. Appreciate your call, Joshua. Anything else you want to talk about today?
If you're excited, I don't know if you heard, but like TPUSA is having an America Fest.
I heard about it. I will not be attending this year, but I encourage everyone who's going to have a good time. Hopefully next year I'll make it around out there, but I'm not going to do it this time around. Maybe if I can get Tyler Bauer from Turning Point to get me a media row pass, give me a table there to interview people, I'd be willing to do that. but it doesn't seem like it's going to happen at this time. Are you going to be there?
Absolutely. I can't wait to see all the speakers. I'm guessing Donald Trump is going to make an appearance. His son definitely is speaking. Spoke last year, the year before. So, you know, it's always fun to see, you know, actual conservatives speak. I mean, like actual ones like Carrie Lake, Donald Trump Jr., Donald Trump. You know, there's going to be no Ron DeSantis, that's for sure there. So,
is Ron even showing up? I know he didn't go to the event while it was in his state. This one's way out of his state.
Oh, no, he's not showing up, no.
Of course not. Yeah, all right. Well, we appreciate you coming up. Look forward to seeing what happens at America Fest. Wish I could be there. Not going to happen this time around. Matthew, I believe he's a return caller now, is also on the line. Matthew, what do you want to talk about?
Hey, Josh. Hope you had a good Thanksgiving, man. How you been?
I've been kind of ill, but we did have a great Thanksgiving. I hope you did too. Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's fantastic. I'm actually driving back now. I wanted to, if it's okay with you, I wanted to just double back on the PAC drama and give a little bit of a practitioner's viewpoint on that. Is that okay?
Go right ahead.
So you mentioned that the leak, and you never know kind of like how true that information is from Never Back Down or the candidate, Ron DeSantis's impression of the PAC was that he had a problem with the ads. And I just want to point out, sometimes it's good to go back to the basics. The ads, I mean, they can't make good ads because they don't have a good product. You know, when you think about President Trump, he's had 2016, one of the most successful runs of all time. He's had 2020, which under the circumstances of COVID and the chicanery with the election, still he did as a candidate a pretty good job. And the current run, I think, is very impressive. And all those successful campaigns, when you think about Donald Trump as a Trump supporter, do you think of an ad? No, you think about him. He's the product. It's his spirit. It's his energy. And he's had good ads because he's a good product. But it's not the thing that jumps to your mind. So I just want to point out that that is a complete and total cope by the DeSantis people that, like, oh, you know, shakes their fist. If only we had better ads. It's like, no, you know, they don't have anything to work with. Now, there have been problems with ads that they've made, but I think it's a distant second to problems with the candidate quality.
Well, I completely agree. They have a very mid, he's almost even like a mid-governor. Like, he's good based on what we have to work with. But in history, we've had much better populace, much better potential people. I mean, we could have had President Buchanan, for goodness sakes, right? Patrick Buchanan, we just didn't ever happen. So he's not really that good on the issues. He's obviously a uniparty baby. And so they don't have someone to run with. I will contrary your belief when you say people don't think of an ad when they think of Trump. Let me play this one here if I can get it pulled up here.
Okay, well, other than that one, which is an all-time classic
when I listen to hear the name Donald Trump now, that's the first thing that pops up in my head. So I'll contrary you there.
Well, certainly in Spanish language media, yes, that's true.
You're very right, but I appreciate your consensus there. And yeah, the Super PAC drama is a mess, but it's really just a battle for second place at this point. I think it's honestly Nikki Haley's going to pull out. I heard someone say that Nikki Haley's going to win Iowa, DeSantis is going to win New Hampshire, Nikki Haley's going to win South Carolina, Trump has no shot. And I'm like, okay, the polling says everything
it's
contrary to that. It's completely delusional. If you take Trump off the ballot, Trump will win with write-ins. So it doesn't really matter there. Matthew, appreciate your call today. Anything else you
Absolutely.
Want to talk about?
Depends on how much time you have on your segment. I can keep going.
Got about a minute and a half left.
Yeah, I'll just say, okay, so a minute and a half. I'll say regarding Newsom, he's already won by virtue of the fact that the debate is happening at all. And you should go back. I know this sounds dreary. Go back to the last GOP debate. It was at the Reagan Library, I think in California, or maybe that was...
Yeah, it's before. California.
Newsom showed up because he was the governor, and he just punked DeSantis. He was like, I can't believe this amateur agreed to debate me. So he just already has said it's a trap.
Well,
DeSantis,
I mean,
fell into a trap. It's disgraceful.
You have...
So, and Newsom,
it's going to be a 2v1.
He's a bad guy, but he's a good... He is an operator. He will crush DeSantis.
You're right. And we complain about 2v1 debates, but you're going to have Sean Hannity trying to hit back at everything Newsom says. And I think that's going to cover up a lot of the bloops, or whatever you want to say, that DeSantis actually has, because they're not going to air that. They're going to have Hannity saying, hey, wait a minute. Let's talk about this now, and kind of go off. And every time a progressive appears on Fox News, you see that happening. And I'm very against that when it comes to those sort of conversations. But Sean Hannity is obviously a staunch conservative. The fact they have him moderating it at all shows how big of an amateur Ron DeSantis is, because it's going to look bad on him if every time that he's pushed back upon, there's kind of like a, oh, well, you know, actually, the old guy in the ear trying to change the subject, and it's going to be an absolute bleep show. Even if they had it on CNN, I mean, I think we'd have a better audience and a better reception for Ron DeSantis, but they're not going to have anything this stupid anyways.
Even as soon as Newsom points out, which he'll do live, that DeSantis was a fool for taking the debate at all, and he's not serious as a candidate because he's wasting his time debating the governor of California, it'll be over, because that's true, even though Newsom is a very bad guy.
Right, because Newsom's not even a candidate. He hasn't said he's going to run. We all know he will, but he hasn't said he's going to run. So right now he's debating governor v. governor. Might as well do that not running a presidential campaign.
It's a total disgrace. I will tune in if I'm not too busy that night, because I think it will be good opposition research for Newsom should he pop up as a candidate in the future.
Yeah, and actually him having him on the record a few things will be nice to have. But I don't know, Ron being there at all is kind of a joke. Appreciate you, Matthew. You're always a great caller.
Thank
we
you.
Encourage
great
you to come back
to you,
anytime.
Always.
All right. We did not get any of the news we wanted to get to, but callers are even more important. So we're going to get to the Elon Musk story. We're going to kind of cower it all into the Ohio segment right back after this here on the Conservative Crusader. Wrong button. Right back here after this here on the Conservative Crusader. You're listening to the Voice of the Future.
You're listening to the Conservative Crusader.
Hey everyone, it's GOP Josh. We can only keep the Conservative Crusader podcast or program that you're listening to right now on the air with your support. We have recently launched a Patreon program where you can support us here at Red Future Radio for as little as $3 a month. You can find that at patreon.com/GOP Josh. You can also support the program at anchor.fm/TheConservativeCrusader for as much or as little as you'd like to give. This program will remain free, and financial support is not required or expected, but anything to keep us on the air helps. Thank you, folks, and now back to the Conservative Crusader. To say this song rings true even more today, as we are coming off of a loss 30-24 for our Ohio State Buckeyes. I cover that more on a short you can find on social media, but it's such a shame, it really is, as to what happened in that game. What a disgrace. Thanks, Ryan Day. Thanks, Mid McCord, all of you. So we're not really doing just Ohio here. We're going to pack it in. We're going to save the Elon Musk story for Wednesday because we are out of time, but I do want to cover what's going on with George Santos. We are getting a report today. I can't really independently verify this, but I'm going to run with it for you all from another story. I'm not sure. I'm seeing a lot of big names in MAGA react to it. House will be voting to expel George Santos. He's threatening to expose his House colleagues who are having extramarital affairs. This is from Social at USA. Not really familiar with the public or the publication of this. But if this is true, we are going to have a major, major enemy of the deep state in our hands, right? George Santos will be the absolute enemy of those that go against America and go against their conservative values. And I am excited to see it. I really am. I don't want to see him expelled at all. I would love to have him in Congress for 20 more terms. He is the best on the voting issues there is in Congress. He's the best when it comes to voting. And so I am just excited to see what he comes out with, knowing it's pretty much over for him in Congress. I think we all realize that it was not a good publication to come out. That came out. He said he will wear it with a badge of honor. He did this on a Twitter space with Monica Matthews. He said, quote, "I know I'm going to get expelled when this expulsion resolution comes to the floor. I have done the math over and over," he said, laughing, "and it doesn't look really good." The Ethics Committee released a 56-page report. We went into that already. Said he used the campaign funds to pay his personal expenses. Fun fact, all campaigns do that, or at least all of them I've ever read into. After the report's release, Michael Guest, representative of the chairman of the Ethics Committee, introduced a resolution to expel Santos. Guest, a Mississippi Republican, said the findings were more than sufficient to warrant punishment, for the most appropriate punishment is expulsion. He said he will not resign. He called the report a political opposition hit piece at best. He said he wants to see them set precedent because this precedent sets a new era of due process, which means you are guilty until proven innocent. We will take your accusations and use it to smear and mangle you, to destroy you and remove you from society. That's what they are doing with this. Completely agree, Congressman George Santos. All right. U.S. Congressman Bill Johnson has been selected as the next president of Youngstown State University. This sets up a special election to fill like a couple months in his seat. So he hasn't resigned yet, but it's going to be a fight when he does resign in a few months to take the job. Congratulations to Youngstown State. You're getting an election denier, as they say, so that you're willing to put up with an election denier. But Bill's not really that Mr. Congressman Johnson's not really that big of a guy in my mind. I don't really care about him very much. But the seat to open him will be big. I hope that we have the one and only Ron Ferguson from the State House running that seat. Would love to see that. He will have my complete and total endorsement. And then also here from Ohio Politics, hat tip to listener Hava, friend of the show Hava. The Supreme Court of Ohio ruled today saying that the maps we have been created for the State House will be adopted. It okays the maps for use in 2024 and likely until 2030, according to this ruling today from Ohio Politics Guru. Opinions don't appear posted yet, according to this. Three of the six justices carried it over. It was a 4-3 decision, so the maps will be remained. Not really that big of a fan of the maps. I mean, it's an incumbent manner that they're going to just keep the incumbents, get rid of everyone else. I wish we would have done congressional maps and made that a 13-2 or a 12-3, made it stronger versus the 10-5 we have now. 10 Republican, 5 Democrat. It could have been 13-2, 12-3. There's a lot of maps out there that could have done that. So we have Bruner, Donnelly, Stewart dissenting. We have Kennedy, Fisher, DeWine, Dieters all joining in the decision. This is why the Supreme Court of Ohio is so important. Hat tip to Brian Stewart, representative, state representative, 12th District, for putting on and passing the bill to put the legislation, the name of the party for the Supreme Court on the ballot, because if not, we'd have a different court now. And having the Republican and Democrat designation is so incredibly important. I can't believe we don't have it for every race besides school board now at this point. I mean, some city councils are nonpartisan. Some election boards are nonpartisan. A lot of elections in the state are nonpartisan. Every other judicial position is nonpartisan. And knowing who your judicial candidates are, you can't expect the voters to know everything, hate to say it. So the fact that we have an ability to say, hey, here's who your candidates are. This is the one endorsed by the Republican Party, and this is the idiot endorsed by the Democrat Party. And then they can vote based on that, and you have the similar makeup across, and you can still vote for someone on a different party. We don't have the all-party bubble to fill in. It is completely and totally line by line, candidate by candidate, person by person. And so I'm not really a big fan of the whole optics of like, well, you know, we can't have the party designation because it's a nonpartisan position, but you still run in party primaries. You still run on a party ballot. You still have the party, what's it called? The card, the slate card that says what you're running with. The state school board, the judicial candidates should have that designation. I'm so glad they do on the Supreme Court. And so we have maps. We're not going to go into this fiasco with a late primary once again. We do have a map. Good to know, good to have. Other than that, not really a lot going on in the state of Ohio today. Not really a lot besides it was Thanksgiving in Ohio. We lost the football game. The Browns lost. The Bengals lost. Not really a great weekend for the Ohio sort of politics-esque. Not really. So anyways, we will return with you all on Wednesday. My voice is kind of dying out, so it's about time to wrap it up. We are getting over an illness, so if I sounded sick in the program today, I apologize. If I was not up to your standards, but you can leave me an email, josh@gopjosh.com. Leave us a phone number, or leave us a call on your phone number. That is 574-675-6747, 57-GOP-JOSH-7. Giving Tuesday is tomorrow. Support the program using Patreon, patreon.com/GOPJosh. If you want to keep us on the air, support the program during Giving Tuesday. Help it keep us on the air during this time of year. I will tell you, a little inside baseball, advertising budgets drop off completely during January. Very hard to keep this this program on the air the way we do. And so I'm so glad we have our supporters on Patreon. And I encourage you all, if you can, to support the program. We'll remain free. There's no obligation whatsoever. But if you can support, please do. Patreon.com/GOPJosh. Support the show using our sponsor link over on Fiverr. bit.ly/GOPJosh, Fiverr. That's Fiverr. Fiverr, the world's largest marketplace. You can find it over there, see what you need. About everything over there, or everything you need, is on Fiverr. bit.ly/GOPJosh, Fiverr, is the link for that. Go to GOPJosh.com, find everywhere you can find the program, download it, subscribe, rate us 5 stars. Do all of this stuff. Make sure it's downloading to your phone. Even if you don't listen on a podcasting app, make sure it's downloading to your phone. That helps us in the algorithms major. We are the number one Ohio political podcast. We appreciate you all and help and thank you all for that. And we look forward to joining you again very soon this Wednesday. This is GOP Josh signing off. Stay safe, stay healthy, and most importantly, stay tuned.
You're listening to the Conservative Crusader.